for prayer. Heavenly Father, we echo that prayer from what we just sang, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our mouth to know and to understand and to proclaim your truth. We thank you for the word that we're going to hear preached in just a few minutes. We pray that your Holy Spirit would bless Pastor, fill him with your spirit, and help him as he brings the message to us. May our hearts be ready to receive the word and to follow through on what you show us there. Father, we praise you for our fellowship. We pray that you would bless the church continually, draw us closer to you as we continue this journey together on our way home. Thank you that the Lord is coming back. He's going to take us home to be with him. And right now, it is your will and your plan that we remain here to serve you, to minister to each other and to others. We talked about this in Sunday school as well. And we pray that we would be faithful to our calling, and that we would let you flow through us as we minister your word and your will to others. Thank you again for this hour. We praise you for the baby dedication that's coming at the end of the service, and what a joyous time this is as well to rejoice at this event. And Father, we pray that everything that is done in this hour will bring honor and glory to your name and lift high the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Reading today is in Romans chapter 3. We've been just started in Romans a few weeks ago. We're going to be going through. This is a wonderful book of the Bible that the Apostle Paul has written that teaches us so many, many things. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then has the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly, because that under them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts, and we pray that you'll help us to understand what you're saying and that we might indeed profit from it. We thank you for each and every one who is here today. We ask you to speak to each and every heart. You know our needs, our Father. We pray that you will encourage us and strengthen us and help us, that we might truly put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone for our salvation and walk by faith day by day. Our Father, we just pray your holy will be done in all of our lives, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We pray for our country today. We ask you to undertake for those who are in leadership. Give them wisdom and understanding. We know we live in a world that is very chaotic, and we just pray that you'll help us, O Lord, to remain faithful and true no matter what, and do your holy will in all things. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and exalted in all that we say and do today. Guide and help us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again to Romans chapter 3. We're looking at a very important subject today. How may the guilty be declared righteous? Now, I know while that may happen sometimes in court, you know, people might make a mistake. But with God, He doesn't make mistakes. But there is the possibility that the guilty can be made righteous or declared righteous in God's sight. Now, we were looking here in the book of Romans for the last couple of weeks, and so far we've seen that the pagan world, chapter 1, is condemned by God because of its sin and immorality. It's outright idolatry and all of the rest that goes along with that. But also, chapter 2, we saw the moral person who avoids the excesses of outward sin still falls short of God's glory. He's still a sinner. And even the religious person who seeks to obey God's law is unable to do so perfectly. And that's what God requires, isn't it? Perfection. Our scripture for today clearly states that the entire world is guilty before God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the question is, how can sinful man be declared righteous in the sight of a holy God? Is it possible? Yes, thank God it is. But not through our own efforts. The Bible's very clear. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Thank God we do have salvation through the grace and mercy of Almighty God. And it's not through keeping the law. He mentions here very clearly that the law does not enter into it. The law is there to show us that we are sinners. That's the purpose. And then to realize that we cannot make it on our own. It's all comes from God Himself. He's the one who can declare us just, righteous, and holy in His life. In His sight, I mean. So the law was given to show us that we're sinners. And so we wonder, how are we to go about this? We come here to chapter 3. He talks about the Jewish people a little at the beginning. He says, what advantage does the Jew have? You might think, well, if everybody is a sinner, then he probably doesn't have any. But Paul doesn't say that. He says, no, he has a great advantage. Chiefly because, that unto him were committed the oracles of God. He has the word of God. You know, in thinking about that, it was the Jewish people who wrote down the scriptures, the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, and the New Testament as well. There's one possibility. Luke may have been a Gentile. But basically, it was the Jewish people that gave us the scriptures under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? And God gave it to them first. They had the opportunity to know God and to follow Him. So we have this great advantage for those who were sons of Abraham. The covenant that God made with them and all of that. And yet many of them did not believe. He says, but that did not negate the faithfulness of God. He's going to stay with us and continue to work in such a way that we might come to know Him. He says, let God be true, but every man a liar. You know, so often we have all kinds of ideas, religions of various types and all of that. And what is right? What is true? You know, sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? And yet, what do we base our faith on? We have the Word of God. These are the oracles that God gave to His people. And we have the Word of God to come back to base our faith on, and to trust in what God has told us. You know, if He hadn't given us His Word, where would we be? What would we believe? You know, there are so many people in the world today that know nothing of the true and the living God. And they're following something altogether different. But we have the guide that He has given to us, the Word of God, that is so important that we might know Him. And the Apostle Paul, especially writing here these wonderful epistles, and especially the book of Romans as we have it, he is showing us that we of ourselves are lost. We're without hope. We're condemned. And the only hope we have is to find what God has provided for us. See? His salvation. And that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God that speaks to us. I have a reference here in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. It tells us, we all are as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So, in and of ourselves, we're hopeless, aren't we? You know, we can't make it on our own. It has to be some other way. And most of us here this morning, I think we probably know that way. We've heard it over and over again. And yet, it is the truth. We need to know the truth. and to follow it. So here we find the this righteousness that God offers to us. What is it like? What is this righteousness like? It is, he says in verse 21 here of our text, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Okay, so we have here the righteousness of the law, righteousness of God, rather, apart from the law. So it has nothing to do with the law itself. The law simply shows us our sin. It shows us that we are in need. It's like the doctor diagnosing our case and showing us what that we have a need, and then how are we going to treat that need? And God tells us that as well. Here in verse 28 of our text, it says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is," what? "Justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So we are not slavishly trying to keep the law. We're not following some other idea of how we can improve ourselves. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, that kind of thing. No. It says that here, we are justified by faith. Faith. Putting our faith and our confidence in someone else. And we know, of course, that's the Lord Jesus. He came into this world. We just had that at Christmas time. He lived. He taught. He reached out to others, met their needs physically. He demonstrated what God is like. Showed us in human form, this is God. And we either believe that, receive Him as our Savior, or we continue on down the pathway that we have been on since we've been born, right? And so we have that choice. He says you can be justified by faith without anything else. That's a wonderful thing to think about. I have another reference here in Galatians. Galatians 2:16. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So here we find Paul repeating himself three times in that one verse, right? Makes it very clear that it's not the law, it's not our works, it's nothing that we can do. It's simply by putting our faith and trust in Christ that we have eternal life. Look again, Galatians 3 and verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." So here he says, you know, you have to, if you're going to try to keep the law, you've got to keep it completely, totally. You can't possibly mess up anywhere along the way. And he says, that is not possible. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So the law is not of faith. The man that does them, he has to try to fulfill it completely. But he's not going to succeed. So we find here then, This righteousness we're talking about is built on revelation. It says, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It's wonderful to think about all the Old Testament scriptures. You might say, well, they're hard. You know, some places over there, it's just, you know, one name after another and all this kind of thing. Well, just read on through there, okay? And you'll get to something good, right? And it's all profitable, I know. The Word of God is altogether profitable, but some of it is a little more difficult than others. But our righteousness comes through understanding what the Word of God says and accepting it by faith. Paul emphasizes that he's not teaching something new here, but that which is from the Old Testament. You know, Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, you remember? In John chapter 3 there. And he says, you're the teacher of Israel. You know these things, or you should know. It says it over in the Old Testament. This is what you're supposed to believe, right? The Messiah is coming. And yet you don't understand. But the Word of God is there for our benefit, that we might profit from it, that we might understand how to be saved and then how to live. So, well, how do you live 2022? Huh? You know, it's difficult, isn't it? And yet, if we follow the Word of God and seek to do God's will and look to Him for strength, He's able to help us day by day. This righteousness, as we've said already, is acquired by faith. It's not a false faith. Some people, you know, they have some kind of idea, well, you know, Jesus lived, what, 2,000 years ago? He died, and, oh, they say He rose again, but, you know, maybe He did, I don't know. That's not real faith, is it? Is that faith? No. The faith that saves us is the faith that changes us, that makes us like Christ, right? You say, well, how can you be like Christ? Well, the Scripture says that He comes into our life and He lives there. And we follow Him and we walk by faith. The just, it says, shall live by faith. It's not a one-time thing. You're not just, I believe today, but tomorrow, well, I don't believe anymore. No. We have to continue on and follow Him. It's a true faith. James says, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. That's one of those verses that give us a little trouble, right? But anyway, what he's saying there is, if you have genuine faith in Christ, you will see some differences in your life, right? When the Holy Spirit comes in, do you think He's not going to do anything? Of course He is. And He does. He works in our lives and He makes us what He wants us to be. And we look to Him for our daily strength. So this is the kind of righteousness that we need. It comes through saving faith, believing, submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, and following Him. That's what it's all about. We start out with one decision, but we continue on and seek to live righteously for Him. And God gives us the ability to do that. It's not us, you know. If we depend upon what we do, then fall flat on our face. But if we follow what God tells us to do, then He can enable us to continue on and give us all that we need. And the wonderful thing here, this is provided for everyone. It's an open invitation that He gives us. This righteousness that God provides is offered out to everyone. Whosoever will may come, it says in here in verse 22. It says, let me read verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. for there is no difference. I love this next part. It says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we are all sinners. We're all lost in our sins without God. But we are justified freely when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, praise the Lord. Provided for everyone, and I hope and pray that everyone here this morning has put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that you know Him, that you have an ongoing relationship with Him that enables you to live righteously in this sinful world that we are in. So these, he says there's no difference. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your ethnic background might be. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Whoever you are, it's provided for everyone. We're all the same. There's no difference. We're all sinners, but we can also all be redeemed and made righteous in Christ. So we have here the wonderful provision that God has made for us, and the righteousness of God that we need so much for our life. And I hope and pray, as I said, that you already have that. If you don't, then be happy to show you from the Word of God how you can put your faith and trust in Him. May God help us to do all that He wants us to do in this world today. Father, we thank You for Your Word to our hearts today. We ask You to bless in a very special way in the baby dedication to follow. We pray that Your holy will be accomplished through all of this, and that You would truly bless and guide and help each one, especially this family that's dedicating their baby today. And we just thank You for all Your goodness and grace. We thank You for the righteousness that You have given to us, not because we deserve it, but because of Your grace and mercy. And we praise You and thank You for our Lord Jesus and for all that He has done for us, for His sacrifice on the cross. And we thank You for every good and perfect gift that You give us each day. May Your holy will be done today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now we're going to have the dedication.